meeting for May 13th, 2020. Councilman Henderson, are you still with us? Okay, so currently it does look like we have a quorum with Councilman Smith, Councilman Shields, and myself. So we will go ahead and get started. The first item on our agenda is Pledge of Allegiance, which I will lead. So if everyone would please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining us in the pledge. We will move on to item 4.2, City Council Comments and Recognitions. Do we have any comments or recognitions by members of the council present?
I just want to, again, commend our staff, our city administration for their work, their dedication through this crazy COVID time that we're all experiencing. It's posed us with a set of circumstances that none of us have ever really experienced, but the way that they've been able to ensure that our city business continues, that our residents still have access to the resources that they need, the services they need. I just want to tell our staff how much it is recognized and appreciated.
Steve? Nope, you're muted.
I would share Clint's comments. I've been really impressed by the level of professionalism communication our staff has shown. They maintain a great attitude, and with all the stuff that's on their shoulders, the fact that they're still smiling and laughing and having a good time is appreciated. Those are now my favorite things, by the way, too. I didn't get one while I was there today, but anyway, thanks everyone for all you're doing. Great job. It is noticed and it is appreciated, all that you're doing. Thank you.
So I'm just modeling the mask that our staff has created with the Yeti, showing that they're maintaining their social distance. So I just wanted to once again appreciate their efforts as well as we go through this process. But yes, our staff is working to make sure that they maintain their social distance. And as we look to moving towards possibly in the future, one day opening city council or city hall, we appreciate those efforts and look forward to continuing to support them with it. With that, we will move on to the public comment portion of our meeting. Public comment for this meeting will be conducted electronically. Any person interested in addressing the city council may submit a comment by email, emailing recorder at harriman.org, or by visiting harriman.org/agendas and minutes, where there will be a link to join the electronic meeting to submit your comments. Your statement will be read into the public record. As of this time, we have not received any public comments for this meeting. However, I will still open the public comment, and there will be a slight delay in the electronic process to ensure that everyone gets a moment to submit a comment if they'd like one. So we will go ahead and open that public comment here at this time. All right, I have been indicated by staff that we don't have any public comment at this time, so we'll go ahead and close the public comment portion of this particular meeting. City Council Board and Committee reports. Okay, seeing no City Council Board and Committee reports, we will move on to the public hearing portion of our meeting. Item 7.1 is a public hearing to discuss the proposal to vacate portions of an unimproved trail access near the end of a cul-de-sac named Harriman View Cove. Blake.
Okay, I'll give him a minute. Oh, there's the presentation. There it is. So this is an item that we discussed at our last city council meeting in a work meeting about vacating a trail up at Fort Harriman Cove subdivision. Can we go to the next slide, please? So just to refresh everyone's memory, there are four trail accesses that exist in this subdivision represented by locations A, B, C, and D on the attached map. Location E was a proposed trail location when the subdivision was approved. The subdivision was approved in 2007. So just to put it into perspective, Mountain View Corridor didn't exist. Rose Basin wasn't part of Harriman, and the whole east, southeast portion of Harriman at that time was Bluffdale, not Harriman. So likewise, there were very few trails in the area. So they were kind of predicting where trails might go when they were doing the subdivision and making sure that there would be access at that time. One other thing to consider, you can see the existing trail along the south end. I did a quick analysis on it to see from the end of the trail access at location E to the existing trail on the side hill, there's an elevation difference of about 400 feet. And as the crow flies, it's about 900 feet from one point to the other. So you'd either have to have a lot of switchbacks right across the face of the mountain that's very visible to the city, or just use one of the other trail accesses and not cut up the side hill to make a trail access work from E to the existing trail. Can we go to the next slide, please? So this is a zoomed in area of the plat for that subdivision that shows the trail location. We flipped north to the right, so it's a little confusing if you're not paying attention to which way is north from the last exhibit to this one. But just some of the limitations, I just wanted to point those out, is that the trail width is not adequate. The slope across from one lot to the other is pretty significant. So this trail would require retaining walls, and to put the walls in and fit the trail in, you'd be too narrow for a trail access to really work. It'd end up being 4 or 5 feet and with a wall on one side and a wall on the other. The trail, like I said earlier, would require significant construction to get up to the existing trail on the side hill, and it would put a scar across the mountain that everybody could see. And the last is this is a private cul-de-sac up at the very end on a narrow local road. And so if we put a trail here, it does have the possibility of creating a busy trailhead for the residents that own lots in this area at the end of that cul-de-sac, that they'd have to worry about people parking up there at all hours of the day accessing the trail. And so because of those reasons and everything else that I just mentioned, the staff recommends that this parcel be vacated at this time. So this one is on for public hearing, so be happy to answer any questions you have now or after then.
Do we have any questions from the council members that are present? I'd like to just for the record show that Councilwoman Oren has joined us from her previous meeting. We welcome her. Councilman Henderson still not with us?
I'm here.
Okay, fantastic. So we have all members of the council here present now. So do you guys have any questions regarding this item? Okay, seeing none, I'll move forward to the public hearing portion of this item, and we will open that. Once again, please note that there will be a slight delay as we ensure that we don't have any requests for public hearing from our staff. So we'll go ahead and open that at this time. All right, staff has confirmed that we have no public hearing request this time, so I will accept a motion to close the public hearing.
All motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Smith and a second from Councilwoman Oren. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It appears to be unanimous. Any further discussion by the council on this item? That's my understanding. We're not taking action on this item. We are simply just holding a public hearing. So with that, we will move on to our consent agenda, which is item 8. And I will accept a motion for the consent agenda.
Can I ask one quick question before we move on to approval of consent agenda?
Sure.
Just for Brett, I didn't see any, but were there any changes to the fireworks map that's part of the consent agenda? I couldn't notice any, but I just wanted to make sure.
There was no changes, but we did have Dom, Chief Burchett, and Riley, because his experience out here as well, review the map again and relook at those areas. I know we have residents in certain areas that feel strongly about allowing them to do fireworks, but we talked a lot about some of the same areas. We had a spark from a grinder last year and put Midas Creek on fire last year. We're still want to be cautious on that. Chief Pilgrim is online. He to make comment if you to validate that we feel confident where we're at, and as things are starting to dry a little bit early, and you saw Midway. I think we're going to have a high burn year this year.
Yeah, no, I agree. Caution definitely is the best approach here. Like I say, I just wanted to verify whether there was any changes I was not seeing. I am concerned about the fire season as well, especially I think there's going to be a propensity for more personal fireworks use this year, with many of the cities canceling their own celebrations due to COVID and social distancing issues. So I think the more precaution we can take at this time, the better. So thanks for that answer.
Okay. So with that, I accept a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll make it. Go ahead, Sherry.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda as written.
I will second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All in favor? No, I'm sorry. Jared?
Yes.
Clint?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Sherry?
Yes.
And I will vote yes, that motion passes. All right, item 9.1, discussion consideration of a resolution to approve the tentative fiscal year 2020-2021 Harriman City budget and the amended fiscal year 2019-2020 Harriman City budget, and request to schedule a public hearing on May 27th, 2020. Alan Ray.
Okay, as you just said, this is approval of the budget. This is not adoption of the budget. This means that we will be, if you approve it, we make it available to the public so that they can see it. So this is approving it. So far, we have not published it for the public. But once you approve it, that essentially says you're at least comfortable enough for it to go out to the public. Once we do that, then we approve the budget, or we have the public hearing, which would be scheduled for the 27th. Adoption, and which is actually what makes it part of our law, is the 10th of June. Earlier, there were some proposals in the legislature to extend the date of adoption because of COVID. Those were all denied by the legislature. They voted them all down, said you can get them all done on time. So they've given us no extension, so it needs to be adopted no later than June 20th, June 10th being our last council meeting before that date. So as we talk about this, though, I just kind of want to update you a little bit. We have so far been very pleased with the way our revenue is coming. As we talked last month, our revenue that we collected in April for the February sales was up, as you would expect, because February wasn't hit too hard. We received yesterday estimates from the state regarding our money we expect to get this year. They've put a huge disclaimer on it of, you know, it could change, but if the numbers hold that they gave us as an estimate yesterday, it would be a substantial increase over what we did last year. So you know, we're waiting to see that. We'll know for sure in the next week and a half. But at this point, it seems to be very encouraging what we're seeing. Remember, the April or the May sales will be what happened in March. What we get in May is the sales from March. And the estimates so far from the state look really good. So so we propose that we move forward with the budget as done. And just keep in mind that any changes you might want to do to it can happen anytime up until we adopt it. And then once you adopt it, you can amend it anytime you want by holding a public hearing. So, you know, we feel pretty confident with where we're at right now. We're watching it every day to see what's happening. Building permits are doing very well, along with, as I mentioned, our sales tax, which are our two primary. So feeling pretty confident about it at this point.
All right, thank you. Council, do you have any questions or concerns at this time? Okay, if there are not any questions or concerns, I would accept or any comments, I'd be happy to accept a motion at this point.
I have a comment, Mayor. Just want to let you know, and I said this to you all on the phone today. Alan, I'm going to look at you a little bit. Me and you spend a lot of time together during these rough times. We're just not seeing indicators like other cities are anticipating. Like Alan said, we kind of feel like, Alan, you want to go on mute? The indicators we're seeing are not like we're hearing from other neighboring cities. There's some rough times for those cities out. We've always been built a little differently. Last month we talked about the budget. We talked about, you know, last time we had a recession, Harriman fared better. We talked and we kind of smiled about our drive-up restaurants have done well. Our grocery stores have done well. And then our population has grown, but they're also shopping online a little bit more too, and that helps us too. So all those things are helping us out to be in a more positive swing. And what Alan, reason they're projecting the numbers, even taking some consideration what the COVID's doing to the state, they show us up. I think it's a lot to do with the anticipated where our population growth has happened. And if we get that accurate, we talked about we probably will sustain this wave of recession better than a lot of communities in the area. So we feel confident in the budget. Like I said, we will stay on top of it. If we feel any trending changing, we'll be right back to you and make some precautions to make some cuts where needed.
One other thing that will also help us is that June is the month that they actually change our population estimates. So we ought to get a pretty good bump just from the new population estimates in June. You know, it usually amounts to, you know, 7 to 12%, depending on what their estimate are, but we will see a bump in our sales tax, sales tax and also our BNC road funds because of population starting in June.
Thank you. I would just take this opportunity to remind any residents that may be watching or paying attention that this is an excellent time to remember that we are in the middle of our census. And that those census numbers do affect our budget because it does affect how much money we get from the state for tax for our portion of the sales tax. And so I would just remind any residents who have not yet filled out their census to go. You can do that online or you can give them a call. Please get that done because that makes a big difference to our city budget.
Great comment, Mayor. I will tell you this. We actually rated 91 in the state, way down in the census. We thought our residents would be more, we thought we were more engaged, but they're not doing the census. And that's really alarming to us because if our residents don't understand, and we've done a lot of publicity on this on our web and on Facebook, they don't understand by them not doing the census. It hurts us getting BNC road monies. helps us on our taxes. It hurts us on everything. And I can't tell you enough, if they lack doing that, they hurt their own selves, their own pocketbook. So I hope they wake up. I was kind of embarrassed because neighboring cities around us was quite high in the top 20 and 30, and we were back 91. That was actually embarrassing for as much effort we was put out there. We even talked about putting people out on the street corner with signs to get them to do the census. We're getting a little desperate. I didn't like seeing that number that low. So thank Mayor for bringing that up.
We can get more bump from our revenues by getting the census done than about anything else we can do.
Thank you. Any other comments by the council before we make a motion on this? Okay, with that, I will accept a motion on the budget.
Mayor, I'll go ahead and make a motion on item 9.1. Motion to approve resolution number 2020-17, resolution acknowledging receipt of a tentative budget and tentatively adopting the tentative budget pursuant to the requirements of the Utah Code annotated 10-6-111 for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2020 and ending June 30th, 2021. And the revised budget for fiscal year 2019 to 2020, and request to schedule a public hearing on May 27th, 2020 for formal adoption on June 10th, 2020.
I'll second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Steve?
Yes.
Jerry?
Yes.
Jared?
Yes.
Clint?
Yes.
And I will vote yes. That tentative budget has passed. Once again, this is a reminder that this is tentative. This is not the final adoption. And we will see this again at our next meeting. Moving on to item 9.2, discussion and consideration of an ordinance declaring two right-of-way parcels adjacent to Mountain View Corridor and Real Vista Drive as surplus, establishing that the property was obtained by abstraction pursuant to Code Utah annotated 10-9A-508(4), but the property be first offered without receiving additional consideration to the person who granted the property to the city. John.
Okay, I described this several-stage dance to you at the last council meeting, and this is the first stage of the dance. So at the end of the day, if you approve this, the property will be quit claim to one of Rosecrest entities. My understanding, Rosecrest entities and Wasatch has entered into an arrangement to transfer that property to Wasatch. And then we will amend the subdivision plat to take it off, and we'll give UDOT notice of that subdivision plat amendment. Kind of a complicated process, but that's the only way we could figure out to get it done.
Do we have an image of the property that's in question?
It's a yellow portion. This is off one of the pod 35. It's the yellow portion. Then there's another pod, and it's adjacent to Mountain View Corridor.
And so just to remind the public, I know we've talked about this before, this was land that was dedicated or deeded to the city in regards to Mountain View Corridor that is no longer needed. And so we're going through this process to basically give up our rights to that property since it was not something that's needed for that land. Is that correct?
Yeah, technically we're saying it was obtained by an exaction, basically. It will then be offered back to the party that conveyed it to the city, and that would be Rosecrest.
So we took it from a landowner, and now we're giving it back because we don't need it.
Exactly.
Okay, so I just want to make sure that the public is clear as to why this is different than maybe some of our other processes that we've done before. This is because we want to make sure that we are making whole the entity that we extracted this from in the first place. Any questions from the council on this item? Okay, if there are no questions, I'll accept a motion on this item.
I'll make a motion to approve ordinance number 2020-16, declaring two right-of-way parcels adjacent to Mountain View Corridor and Real Vista Drive, Utah, as surplus, establishing that the property was obtained by exaction and pursuant to Utah Code annotated 10-9A-508, for that the property be first offered without receiving additional consideration to the person who granted the property to the city.
I'll second that motion.
All right, I have a motion and a second. Clint?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Sherry?
Yes.
Jared?
Yes.
And I will vote yes, that motion passes. We will now move on to item 9.3, discussion and consideration of a resolution making an exception to the business license renewal. Heather?
Hello, Mayor and Council. This is a resolution we discussed with you at your last council meeting. This is part of the economic development program to help our local businesses through the financial hardships they may be experiencing due to COVID. So this resolution would waive the business license renewal fee for existing businesses for a year. The fiscal impact of this resolution would be approximately $70,000. Do you have any questions with me?
Thanks for your work, Heather.
Thanks, Clint.
I know you and Sandra have been doing a tremendous amount of work with our local businesses during this time. It's noticed, it's much appreciated. I've received a ton of very positive comments of the efforts that the city has gone through to continue to support and sustain our local businesses. And again, I think as we've talked about this, anything that we can do as a city, again, to help support them, this isn't, again, you just mentioned it's $70,000 overall. To some, that's a big number in the overall scheme of the city budget. It's something we felt like that we could tolerate, obviously, and try and give something back to our businesses, or at least show them that we are here to doing what we can to support them. And I think it's very important that we continue to do so. But thank you for all of your efforts on this.
Thank you.
I'm in agreement with Clint, as I think that this is a, not only are we appreciate the efforts and they're very visible, but I think that as a council, we feel very much so that the small impact that this will have on us as a city could have substantial impacts on some of our small businesses, particularly our home businesses. And so we want to make sure that we are doing everything we can to help our residents protect their livelihood and help protect those businesses as best we can. And this is a small way that we can do that. So I appreciate those comments from Councilman Smith. Any other comments before I accept a motion? Okay, I'll accept a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'll make a motion to approve resolution number R18-2020, temporarily suspending business license renewal fees for a period beginning May 1st, 2020 and ending April 30th, 2021.
I'll second that motion.
Go ahead.
I have a motion from Clint and a second from Steven. Steve?
Yes.
Sherry?
Yes.
Jared?
Yes.
Clint?
Yes.
And I will vote yes, that motion passes. We will continue on the economic development trend with item 9.4, discussion and consideration for the Harriman City Shop Around and Economic Development Program. Tammy?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I am continuing the economic development discussions. Economic development and consideration for our businesses has definitely been heavy on our minds as of late. Our current situation has left businesses looking for relief until life can get back to normal, whenever that may be. John, if you want to go ahead and move to the next slide. So Obviously, the pandemic has had a major impact on businesses across the board. Orders and directives under the red phase had restrictions that left several businesses needing to close their doors because they could not perform the business that they did, or because they had to make significant modifications that they just weren't prepared to do at the time. It put a strain not only on the businesses, but on the consumers as well. Let's move to the next slide. So as noted in the previous agenda item, the city has been working hard to assist our businesses through this difficult time. We loosened our sign restrictions to assist our businesses with allowing signage to be put on their storefronts in A-frames or on banners to let the public know that they're still open, what services they provide, what their new hours are. We also did the Yeti Business Spotlight. So each week we selected a new business. We posted about that business each week, and the businesses just rotated through on a weekly basis as new businesses. Well, not new businesses, but as businesses were able to reopen, they were just added into that rotation. We held our virtual lunch with leaders, letting the businesses speak with council members, with bank representatives, with a representative for the federal government, and with the Chamber of Commerce, so that they could discuss their concerns and hear about the programs that are available to them. We also have been holding a welcome back party. This started last week as we went to phase orange. We were able to provide banners and balloons. Well, it was actually A-frames and balloons to put in front of businesses and then spotlight them on social media to let everybody know that they're welcome to come and celebrate these businesses being able to reopen. And it's funny because the program was only supposed to run for about a week. And when Sandra went to gather all of the A-frames at the end of the week last week, she was flagged down by business owners saying, wait, could we just have them out for another week? They've been really helpful. People know that we're back open. And they were very appreciative of the city's efforts. And as noted by Councilman Smith, Sandra and Heather have done a great job at keeping in contact with all of our businesses on a regular basis, making sure that they know about all of the programs that are available to them. And of course, we just discussed the business license renewal fee waiver. And in addition to that, go ahead and move forward, John, to the next slide. In the last city council meeting, we also discussed an event we wanted to host called the Harriman City Shop Around. And this is in continued support of our businesses. We developed an economic development event that would serve as a local business stimulus opportunity. It would assist businesses in looking for relief as they do their best to work through this situation until things can get back to normal. Next slide. So this is how the program would lay out. It would introduce Harriman Bucks in the form of like a gift card or a business card would be sent out to each household in Harriman. It would be in the amount of $10, and it would be able to be used for or towards a purchase of $20 at any participating business. At the conclusion of the time frame that's been set, the businesses would then be able to submit those cards back to the city for a reimbursement on those $10 amounts. Next slide. So I worked with Alan on what the financial impacts could potentially be. Alan has mentioned that he feels like this is doable with our current budget and should not place too much of a hardship on the city. Our taxpayers pay taxes that come to the city, so we're basically giving them $10 back so that they can invest it into the city. So it would be about $110,000 to $190,000 That's based off of 11,000 utility accounts and households. So there is some fluctuation in there because of HOAs. They don't necessarily have utility accounts, so they would be mailed out their $10 card.
Is that assuming that every card is used?
And that is. That's assuming every card is used. And then it would generate a minimum of $2,500 in sales tax. But that, again, is if every card was used and only used on the minimum purchase amount. Now, it's highly likely that it's going to be used on purchases that are, you know, grocery shopping. It can even be used on landscaping. It can be used on things that are well beyond $20. And then, of course, the biggest benefit of it is that it stimulates the local economy as businesses reopen and as the community begins to venture out. It's very similar to the event that we held with the Shop Local program, where we gave the punch cards and residents could go around to all of the businesses and have the cards punched and get rewards from that. So it's very similar. It's just that they don't have to go to a lot of businesses. All they have to do is visit one business. Next slide. So the value objective is that it really is connecting our two greatest resources, residents and business, in an attempt to soften the negative economic impact that's been caused by this pandemic. You know, we want to help both of them during this unique time, and this provides an incentive that gets all of the parties involved. I'm a part of a roundtable group of just different leadership throughout the nation, so different city leadership. And we were trying to go over some ideas on how to stimulate the economy. And I had mentioned this idea, and one of the assistant city managers, I believe she's in Texas, she took this idea and she ran with it. She happened to have a city council meeting that night. She took it to the council, she got it approved immediately, and they sent out $35 cards to all of their residents. And she said that it was so successful that they're getting ready to do round two. So there are other cities that have already implemented something like this. And so it was good to hear that it was successful to them. And we want to encourage our residents to shop local and to use the gift cards at local businesses. It benefits them as a consumer, and it benefits the businesses by encouraging shopping. Next slide. So, when can we begin? So, if this is approved today, then we could actually get letters sent out to the businesses tomorrow, asking them if they're interested in participating. And Sandra has already made some phone calls to some businesses and sent out kind of an email to put some feelers out on if this is a program that they would be interested in. So once the letters are mailed, we will compile a list of our participating businesses. And then the last week of May, we could send out the information to the public with the Harriman Bucks card, and then instructions on how the program would work, and the full list of businesses that are participating. The program could last the whole month of June, and then we would ask all of the businesses to submit the Harriman Bucks along with receipts or a sales report by July 15th so that they could be reimbursed for those amounts. Next slide. So Harriman has over 675 businesses. We want to include them all. This is home-based businesses. This is brick and mortar businesses. So we want everybody to have the opportunity to participate. So if a landscaper who runs his business out of his home wants to participate, they can. If someone who makes quilts and sells them from her home and she has a business license, she's registered with Harriman, if she wants to participate in this program, she can. Obviously, grocery stores, fast food, Anybody who would like to participate and can provide us with the required documentation when they submit for their reimbursement, they are more than welcome to participate. Next slide. So as noted, this is just kind of a general design. It will change just a little bit once we submit it to be printed, but it's the design for the cards. These are the letters that would be submitted. There's one for the residents, there's one to the business owners. The middle form is what business owners would have to submit with their, when they turn in the cards and the receipts or sales report. Next slide. And then of course, that was a lot of information. So if you have any questions regarding the program, I'm here to answer them for you. Or if you have questions about financial impacts, if you want different dates or longer dates or shorter dates, staff is just looking for a recommendation of approval to administer the program so that we can assist our local businesses.
Any questions from members of council?
Tammy, you mentioned that you know a couple cities that you talked to have already implemented. What time frame did they, especially the one that that is getting ready to do round two, what was their initial time frame? Again, I think we'd want to incentivize people to get out and spend that as quickly as possible. Obviously to provide that stimulus to our local businesses, but what feedback did you get from them on their timing?
So they had actually, they started this March 16th, March 17th, I believe. And they ran it for 30 days, but they had had over 40% of their cards turned in within 15 days of running the program. So they immediately went to their council to see if they could extend it and send out another $35. And just run it consecutively.
Tammy, are we...
That's awesome.
Are we confident that $10 is sufficient, or should we do more? Should we do less? What's the recommendation by staff on that?
I think it's sufficient if you're putting it towards a $20 purchase. I think it's significant. The city in Texas that had given me some feedback on this. They're larger than we are, which is why they were doing the $35. They have a lot of businesses that were initially closed down completely. Harriman's been lucky enough that our grocery and our fast food were able to stay open with modifications. And so I think we have a different situation, and I think $10 would be sufficient. However, I would say that depending on the success that we see from this program, it might be something that you want to consider doing again a little ways down the road, especially once we have some different numbers back that show how we were impacted in April and how we were impacted in May. Obviously, as Alan had noted, the numbers that we're seeing now are for March. And we know that in March, there was kind of a run for people to buy supplies to make sure that they had everything that they needed during this time. So it will be interesting to see if there was any kind of slowdown once we have those April numbers. Are there any other questions?
If there are no other questions, I will happily accept a motion on this item.
I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the Harriman City Shop-Around and Economic Development Program.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion from Steve and a second from Jared. Clint.
Yes.
Steve.
Yes.
Sherry.
Yes.
Jared.
Yes.
And I will vote yes. That motion passes unanimously. All right. We appreciate all the efforts from staff on this and look forward to hearing back about any successes we have. So thank you very much. We'll move on to item 9.5, discussion and consideration of a resolution adopting and approving a public improvement district policy. Alan Ray.
Okay. We've been talking about this for several work meetings and in fact talked about it at length in our earlier work meeting, but public infrastructure district allows for landowners to be able to assess a property tax on their property in order to build infrastructure. And this replaces impact fees on those properties in part. So we've been looking at a policy that we could implement. We've been working through the process, and we're bringing this to the council for approval tonight. Jonathan, if you'd go to the next screen, please. We do want to make sure that we emphasize in the document that this is the minimum criteria and that it may be changed from time to time as the council finds. And so we have, we'll highlight that in our policy. Okay, please move to the next one. Okay, this is the way the process works. First of all, the council needs to approve a district, an infrastructure district. A developer who wants to use this can submit a letter of intent of what they intend to do. Now, on our initial policy here, we are going to be very limited on the areas of the city that it would be able to be used for. And it's the intent of the city council that we don't use it at all for residential. So then our community development committee would review the LOI for compliance to the city policy. Once that's approved, the developer would be able to submit to the city a governing document. And the governing document, when that's approved by the city council, creates the district that can assess these taxes. And just because they meet our policy does not mean that they will necessarily be approved. The council has a lot of leeway on whether or not to approve a district, and there's several things, particularly financial, to make sure that they are viable. In the long term, we don't want to assess property taxes to create a project that never gets finished. So there'll be some intense review of the projects to make sure that they meet our requirements and that we believe they'll be viable. Once that is done, the city council either approves or denies the governing document. Would you go to the next one, please, Jonathan? Just a couple of things to highlight is that just because a proposal meets our policy does not mean that they have to be approved. It is the sole discretion of the city council whether or not they approve a DID district. Also, there's no liability to the city for rejecting a proposed PID. Please go to the next one. There's been concern over where we would put these. We've written in the policy that it's only for commercial and those types of things. There's been concern that that is too loose, so we propose that we add it in map to the initial policy, which describes the area that can be used for it. John, would you go to the last slide? Okay, this is the map that we propose being in the initial policy. And just a clarification, Sherry, you asked this morning about Main Street being included in the district. I thought that was an error when we saw it, but it's been brought to my attention that that was done on purpose to give the city more property inside the district, to give us more authority towards managing the district if it's created. So we have to have ownership. We would have Main Street plus our park will be inside the boundaries, which would give then the city some control over the district and give us a spot on the board. So that was done on purpose. So I guess that's what I have. So I just entertain any questions that the council has.
Do any members of the council have questions or questions they want to discuss with Alan before we discuss among ourselves? Okay, thank you, Alan. Any discussion among the council regarding this item?
Sure, you missed part of a pretty robust discussion about this earlier in our work meeting. Jared and Clint both brought up some really great points, specifically around some concerns about going forward with a specific approval of any PID. I think there's another concern expressed that perhaps urgency on the part of the developer is spurring us to make a decision before we might be ready to adopt a formal policy. I think that about covers the big points. There's a lot more specifics in there, but there's a lot of concern about whether or not this is opening the door to approval and what that might look like. I think there's a lot of trepidation. We don't want to be necessarily the guinea pig, but we understand that there may be a specific need on this particular property at this particular time. There's still a lot of questions to be asked, a lot of research to be done, a lot of hurdles to be jumped over before any PID could actually get to approval. I think we're maybe conflating the approval of an actual governing document of a PID and then the approval of a policy of which we would go through. From my perspective, I don't necessarily know that there's anything wrong with this policy. I think the policy is fairly good and it's been vetted by a couple of sets of eyes. I think it outlines a process under which we would move forward considering something, but I don't think in any way it binds us to doing anything or commits our hand to any approval. So I don't necessarily have any real objections to moving forward at this time, but I would support anybody who had really strong feelings that this should be delayed or further discussed or anything. I'm not necessarily advocating for instant decision, but I'm not opposed to it either.
So when I was leaving the conversation, there was a comment made, I believe, about wanting to have legal counsel maybe give us some pros and cons of why we should move forward now or why we shouldn't move forward now. I think that was the gist of some of the conversation. And we haven't had that, to my knowledge, as far as, you know, here's the why you should, here's the why you shouldn't. Should we just say we don't do PIDs? All that kind of stuff. Would that discuss further?
I think
we didn't get very far with that discussion beyond that.
I think to your point, Sherry, we've had obviously legal look at the policy that's in front of us tonight. There was a few minor changes suggested to that, but I think really where to Steve's point, I don't have a strong objection to moving forward on a policy, because I think where we get into some of those really, you know, the meat of it and the particulars is in the governing document, which would be the next potential step. And I think that there's a lot more to be discussed about that, but just as a general policy, I think Steve articulated it well. I think that this doesn't bind us to anything. It simply sets some very, very basic parameters by which we would consider, or at least a person would have the option to submit an LOI for us to consider, but it doesn't bind us to anything, and there's a lot more work to be done. So I'm much like Steve. I spoke earlier that I'm in support of putting a policy in place, but I'm certainly not, don't feel like it needs to be rushed. I'm not sure that there would be major changes to the policy we have in front of us tonight you know, moving forward, because I think some of those larger issues come in the documents as we get further down the road. So I as well, you know, could move forward with this, but I certainly don't want to feel like I'm rushing anybody into it. I could certainly be persuaded to make sure that we're looking at this from every angle over the next couple of weeks, and potential bringing it back, you know, in 2 weeks as well on the policy side of things. But again, in general, I'm in favor of putting a policy in place.
Yeah, I think that just from my perspective, I would be much more comfortable just reviewing this a bit more, just because we don't have anything to really bounce it off of. Who's done this? Nobody. And so what are the legal implications of it? We don't really know yet. You know, we have our attorneys look over and say, we think you're good on this, but we know exactly how those things go. It's like then the law gets changed and then we're in a mess. I'm a little bit hesitant right now. I'm not super convinced at all about PIDs. I don't like, there's so many loopholes in these things that it concerns me greatly that a policy could be abused. So I'm a little bit hesitant on moving forward on this tonight as far as approval on it. I'd like a little more feedback as far as exactly that. Hey, why should we? Why shouldn't we? Here's the problems moving forward on this right now with this, or here's the benefits moving forward with this type of thing. I just like to feel a little more comfortable understanding those things.
Sorry, Jared, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to tell Sherry, one of the other things that we talked about briefly after you got off was obviously not really the difference, but at least another alternative to having a CDA or a CRA in place, which obviously squarely puts the city in the middle of all of the finances, you know, for improvements in an area, where a PID is an option that takes the city out of the middle of really that financing piece and doesn't put us in any liability moving forward, which to me, I see the value in having a CRA or a CDA in an area to help stimulate and do some of those things. But again, it's not one of my favorite things to do, nor do I think a PID is gonna be one of my favorite things to do. But again, it's another option, and I tend to like the fact that it takes the city out of that really that financial obligation piece of it as well. So just another thing that we talked about that I think is something for us to consider as we continue to talk about this.
Okay. I appreciate that.
You know, Sherry, I can understand the concerns, and I think that I understand the concerns from Jared as well. And I'm happy to, out of respect to you as members of the council, to hold off on this for a couple more weeks to let us give us just a little bit more time to look at it and maybe get a couple more of those questions answered. I am of the opinion that we do need a policy in place. I look at this very much as a policy and not as a particular project, because I would like the policy to be in place to guide any projects or any requests that come in. So I would like to get us have a policy in place so that we can make sure we're not getting requests for things like residential or other things. But for me, it's not in any way, any sort of approval of a specific request, because frankly, we haven't seen one yet. And so that's where I look at this and I'm coming from. But at the same time, I'm willing, just like the other members of the council, to hold on off on this for a couple more weeks to allow just a little bit more time to look at it and to review it. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that.
Well, I know Alan had commented about we could have a policy that says we don't have this policy or something. I just want to understand why we would or why we wouldn't a little more clearly, and probably from more of a legal perspective than anything.
That's really kind of my concern, what I tried to articulate, and maybe I need to do a better job of it, but I'll put it in an email and send it to everyone tomorrow. I'd be much more comfortable getting an opinion from our new attorney, not just suggestions on the document which were presented to us, but a legal opinion on the best and safest path forward for the city.
Well, you know, to me, it sounds like somebody's ready to make a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Continue item 9.5.
I would second that.
Okay, so I have a motion from Steve to continue item 9.5 and a second from Sherry. All in favor?
Can I just ask that that we just make sure that this does come back on our next agenda so that we don't delay this any more than we need to.
So delayed to, so do you amend your motion to the next meeting?
Sure. A motion to continue us to the next city council meeting.
Perfect.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye, that appears to be unanimous. That brings us to the end of our general meeting. The next future meeting for the Planning Commission will be at 7 p.m. on May 21st. Our next city council work meeting will be on the 27th at 5 p.m., followed by our general meeting at 7:30 p.m. that night as well. We are in the middle of our Yeti Social Distance 20 in 2020 fitness challenge right now. So we appreciate our staff for that effort and for what they're doing. With that, I will accept a motion to adjourn the general meeting and return back to our work meeting to finish those discussions.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so that appears to be unanimous.